Welcome into the Pick Aside Podcast, NFL Championship Round Recap Edition. Shane Orling, Tyler Rocky with you as always. And a lot to talk about. I feel like the majority of the conversation is going to be on the AFC side.
Yep.
I'll recap my record quickly. 0-1. I took the cheese. I bet Buffalo. Maybe 1 year. I don't know.
One of these days.
Will it though?
I don't think like this felt like the one. It had to be this year.
It was now or never. Did. And they thought they had now money, but never it is, champ. Go ahead.
All right. For me, I lost on Washington, but that was a hedge out of my my Eagles future or a middle attempt. Goddard goes over pretty easily there. And I hit the over on Buffalo and Kansas City. Missed on both touchdown scores, but then also hit on Allen going over his attempts.
So. Yeah, overall, not bad for you. The Allen attempts, because they just married themselves to going left off the snap. Yep. Look, man, I'm going to start with where I said last week. If it's a similar result to how it's been in these games, I'd move on from Sean McDermott, and I will just say I'd move on from Sean McDermott. You're entering year 8. It was now or never for the pairing of Josh Allen and Sean McDermott. And now feels like never.
Yeah. While I do agree with you, I think it is time to move on. Isn't there something to be said to you had the ball last, or at least you had the chance to have the ball last there?
And he didn't get it done.
And like you fail on the quarterback, and you can talk all you want about, oh, did he get it? Did he not get it on the 4th and 1?
You just got to win that play.
Yeah. Like it just, to me, it felt like, and we talked about it leading into this game too, there's one tough player on Buffalo. His name's Josh Allen. The other side has defensively.
Oh, they're soft.
I mean, I'm talking about the Kansas City.
Yeah.
Kansas City defense. Sure. Like, they'll beat the shit out of you.
Yeah.
Like, they're a physical team, and they played more physical, and they won that play. I mean, credit Spags, credit Andy Reid, credit the entire coaching staff that got that team ready, and credit the players for executing. Like, they were the tougher team in some of those got-to-have-it situations.
Now, this is where I will – like, I know people are going to get mad at me. Oh, you got to judge Lamar the same way you judge Josh. You got to – like, whatever. Whatever. Can we just be fair and say the fact that on a night where Buffalo's defense got fucking slaughtered, I mean manhandled, yards per play basis, any rushdown, they had nothing. For this version of the Chiefs offense, not a great place to live.
Well, I'll say this. That Chiefs offense was excellent yesterday.
They beat the brakes off Buffalo.
And it wasn't just like, oh, Buffalo defense bad, Chiefs got away with. No, like that Chiefs offense was humming yesterday. We saw some vintage Mahomes. Like those first couple drives were vintage Mahomes. You could see how locked in he was from the get-go. I mean, that first drive was poetry, man. It was excellent.
I'm not letting Allen off the hook for not finishing the final drive. I thought the play calling was bizarre. They were trying to hit like big home runs. He threw some absolute dimes. The throw to Mac Hollins was as good as you can get it. The throw in the back of the end zone to Curtis Samuel was
one
incredible.
When I saw that play happen live, I was like, wow, he's just wide ass open. And then you see the replay. And it's like, damn, he dodged a couple hands on that play.
Absolute dot. He had incredible moments, and he has to execute on that final play. But can we just acknowledge defense gets manhandled, and your team is Josh Allen and friends. Like you lost your second cornerback, Bamford. He's out. You got to put Kyer Elam in the game. He's terrible. Matt Milano missed some tackles down the stretch. But outside of those guys, like Ed Oliver, nobody was playing the greatest game that they did. And on the offensive side, we know the deal. It's Shakir and Curtis Samuel and the dead body of Keon Coleman.
Yeah. James Dalton, Cook pretty good, but yeah.
Dalton Kincaid's been terrible and was terrible yesterday. And Josh Allen and friends had the ball at Arrowhead with a chance to win the game. That's the part for me that I'm like, okay, at some point you got to change the messaging.
Well, I think this comes down to like these matchups always get billed as Mahomes versus Allen, Mahomes versus Allen. But let's call it what it is. Their performances against each other are effectively a wash.
Right? Yeah, 100%.
Like they play at the same level as each other in every single game. It comes down to what the other 52 guys look like on the roster. Yep. And every single year, It's the 52 on the Chiefs stepping up, and it's the 52 on the Bills not stepping up.
Yep.
Because Mahomes and Allen, we know, are going to be great. But here's the difference. Samaje Perine makes a catch out of the backfield on that final play to ice the game. We don't Dalton Kincaid has a wide open chance to make that catch. And I'm not saying it's the easiest play in the world, but it's a catch that needs to be made.
Catch you got
to
make.
And
or how about Curtis Samuel crossing the field early in the game and Allen hits him just at the belt? No catch. And he had 30 yards he could have gained. Turns up fourth down, you got a punt.
I actually thought that was kind of a bad throw on
it. It wasn't a good throw, but it's, again, a catch that has to be made.
Sure. And even like the last play that Allen got on the fourth down and five, all out blitz from Spags there, like, you know how to win that play? Have someone win on the outside. No one's winning on the outside. Like, the fact that Allen was even able to evade the pressure as long as he did is kind of miraculous. And then to throw a ball that was catchable on top of that, double miraculous. But if you have one guy win right off the line, like we saw that, there's always this one Russell Wilson play that comes to mind. I forget who he was playing against, but Russell Wilson gets cover zero blitzed and takes like three steps back and just moonballs one in the air, catch down the field, and it's ball game over to seal it. And it's like, if you have one guy that can just win an outside matchup there, it's over.
Yeah. The whole game, it was like little plays that had to be made, and they just weren't made.
And they get made on the Chiefs side.
And that fourth down, I mean, look, Spags dials up a brilliant blitz. People want Allen to, Benjamin Solak's tweeting, he wants Allen to throw the orbit to Shakir. I'm like, what do you want, man? He's got three rushers in his face the second the ball is snapped.
Yeah.
And he still found a way off his back foot to deliver a ball to the right read in the perfect spot, and Kincaid just doesn't catch it.
Yeah.
Like, this is the difference for me between when I say little game Lamar and why I don't put as much blame on Josh in these same spots. Lamar comes up small more often than not. Like, even in the Bills game, people can say what they want about that final drive and a chance to tie the game and the throw to Mark Andrews. Dude, you took your team out of the game in the first half. You can't throw the pick, and you can't put the ball on the turf and give the Bills the ball at the 20-yard line. It can't happen. It took the Ravens out of being able to play the game that they wanted to play. That never happened for Buffalo yesterday. And they took the lead twice, and their defense let go of the rope twice. It's a different context.
Yeah.
And the other part, that's why I put more blame on McDermott than I did. And honestly, if we want to go Ravens mode with it, Lamar and Harbaugh, how long is this going to go on?
Yeah.
They're entering year eight too.
Yeah. But the thing is, and I'm not saying like get rid of Lamar, but at least Harbaugh has one to fall back on. He's got a ring. The other part too, in the context of like Josh Allen and Lamar, like, listen, Josh Allen doesn't have a Ryan Tannehill first-round exit as a one seed to to hang on his mantle either.
No, he doesn't. Yeah, it's a different conversation. And for me, if I'm Buffalo, I think you have an easy replacement. You can elevate Joe Brady. You can go find your version of Steve Spagnuolo and let her rip and just try something new. But this idea you're going to go into an eighth year doing the same fucking thing. Maybe we'll get through the wall this time. No, you probably won't.
Yeah. At this point, like, listen, they're about the same age, too. Like, their only chance, and to be honest, like, let's call it what it is. The Bengals could have very easily won that game against this iteration of the Bills. Like, the Bills just, frankly, don't have the horses right now outside of Josh Allen. And listen, it's a credit to them that they were finding a way to win 13 games this year plus a playoff game. I give you all the credit in the world. I thought this was probably a 9-win football team at the beginning of the year. But this was always the pitfall with them is they're not balanced. There's no balance. The defense is nothing on the other side. And you've got a quarterback who can be Superman, but what do his receivers look like? And quarterback can be Superman, but at the end of the day, the receivers do have to make plays too. Dalton Kincaid needs to make that play. Like, there's certain catches that need to be made, and it is a two-way street. And one quarterback, he has less than stellar weapons, but he finds a way to make it work because they just make the plays for him.
And I'm not going to ever understand why Joe Brady decided. Like, I think it's funny because last week I said they got to cut Josh loose. You got to win or lose this game with Josh Allen. And then when the game's happening, I'm standing in front of my TV screen and I'm like, Can somebody get James Cook the fucking football, please?
He was tremendous.
He's carving up Kansas City. 9 yards a touch. He's playing the best game of his life. And you get Josh Allen in these dropbacks. James Cook sometimes not even on the field. And Ray Davis or Ty Johnson in pass blocking schemes. And I'm like, can we just turn around and hand this guy the ball? He's ripping.
The touchdown he had too. What was it, the second one that he had where he goes full extension?
Yeah.
Get incredible. That ball over.
I just thought it was, they asked too much of Josh. And I think the Tony Romo, he's going to put the cape on Jim, have him touch the ball, you live and die. It got to Joe Brady a little bit. And it was, we have to live and die with Josh Allen when you probably should have been happy to take 4 or 5 yard gains with James Cook and set yourself up so that Josh can be the superhero when he needs to be.
Yeah, I think the other part is, like, the interior of that offensive line is not nearly what it used to be. Like,
no,
there when, and it's different from Hurts and Allen when you're running that play. And I get that Hurts failed once or twice yesterday on the tush push type of play, but with Hurts, he's so compact and it's just like a spring.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he just vaults out of there. Josh, his physicality comes from his upper half and his ability to stiff arm you. Like, Jalen Hurts is going to run through you. He's not going to outrun you. He's not going to, like, put some evasive move on you. He's just going to run through you to get a couple extra yards. Josh is going to try to stiff arm you to the ground. And I don't think that type of player works as well in that immediate quarterback sneak, because you want a stronger base. And I never look at Josh and think, strong base there. I never think guy who can squat 600 pounds or whatever.
They also run it differently. Like, it's not the same formation where they squeeze everybody in tight right behind the quarterback with a guy in the backfield and they just rugby scrum it. They do like the, it's almost, it's a different formation than a pure sneak, but it's more old school where the first move from the quarterback is backwards and then he has to go to the left to run off the guard.
It's kind of what Brady used to do.
Yeah, it's like a designed QB run from under center, but it's not quite the Patrick Mahomes sprint out either that he'll do under center, and he did in the game.
Would you rather see them, you probably remember this play. Remember when Cam Newton played for the Patriots?
Yeah.
They used to run that power type play where you'd have Cam go right or left. He'd have a back on either side of him, and that back just lead blocks for him one way.
Definitely.
And I think that would work better for, and I know, like, you don't want to necessarily run fourth and one plays out of shotgun, especially quarterback runs fourth and one out of shotgun. But I almost feel like with a guy like Josh who can make things happen with stiff arms and physicality and space, I almost feel like that's a little bit better.
I think that got to Brady too a little bit. All the criticism from last week about the fourth and two, third and two, fourth and two, and you're not getting Josh under center and sneaking him against Baltimore. And then they did it as many times as they did it in this game. I thought some of them probably should have been out of the gun and let Josh create the space. It is what it is, man. The Bills are going home again, short, and that their season is a failure. That's the way it is when you get to the level Buffalo's at, Baltimore, where Detroit was, what Philly and Kansas City are. If you don't win the last game of the year, your season was a failure.
Yeah, the only team that can walk out of this weekend and say it's not a failure is Washington.
Yeah, they're happy to be there.
Yeah.
Even when they get 55 dropped on their heads, they're still happy to be there.
Yeah.
What do you think about the tush push? Should they get rid of it?
I'm not opposed to leaving it in the game. I'm really like,
I had come around on it because there's the aspect of, like, Philly can do it because they're good at it. And if everybody could do it, everybody would do it.
Yeah.
There's a reason they don't. Yesterday's display was the most egregious I've seen. And you
talk about the goal line thing.
Yeah. And it would, like, you took a minute off the clock on one down. Yeah.
But new rule just dropped
today.
No, I'm talking about, well, it's not a new rule, but everyone learned about the rule that a touchdown could just be awarded. Points. That's awesome. I was rooting for that so bad.
I would have laughed if it happened, but I couldn't actually. I never believed I would hear in an NFL game, if they do this again, we can award a score. I'm like,
I love that they call it for, like, something behavior.
I'm like what
it's a daycare.
What is going on? Like, the ref's going to open the mic and go, if Luvu attempts this again, we're going to shoot him in the head in the middle on the midfield marker. Like, I'm like, what am I watching?
Yeah.
That specific moment, because the play's so indefendable, and I get it's only going to happen when you're going against Philly, but it's so indefendable that you've got guys trying to jump over the snap. and just get into the backfield, time the snap count, it becomes a player safety issue. It is a rugby scrum. It's not a football play. I wonder if they're going to leave it in after this year. It's the first time I've genuinely wondered.
I think they will, because like it's really only one team that you worry about. And like, listen, sometimes you just have better personnel. And like Philly's just had better personnel. Like, are we going to remove the stiff arm because Josh Allen's and Derrick Henry are too good at it? Like,
that's a good point.
Like, no, you just have a game wrecker at center, and you've got a quarterback who can squat the moon, and you just work in tandem.
I think the difference is that the formation itself, like you could make the argument it's not a legal formation, the way they tighten everybody up. And I know that it is legal by the book, but you could very easily just say that is an
illegal formation. How are we going to do our quarterback kneels then?
Well,
it's the same formation.
I guess. I don't know, man. I saw more people bitching about it yesterday than I have in a while. Another thing about people bitching about stuff, because I found this ironic. I've been Kansas City referees guy all year. I've been the guy saying, like, the Texans game in the regular season, that was a fumble. The roughing the passer bullshit, like, all of it. I've been ripping it. Yesterday was the first game that it got to the end, and I was like, I actually didn't have a big issue with the officiating in that game at all. Yeah. Even the fourth down spot, because like I said, you just win the down.
Yeah.
Get 6 more inches and you leave nothing in doubt. You have a first down and you probably win the game. But you didn't. You left it in doubt. A bad call happens. Bad calls happen. I didn't have a problem with the officiating. And then I got on the internet and it was like the angriest I've ever seen the football public about refs in the Kansas City game. I felt like I was on a different fucking planet. I've been angry guy all year. The one game I'm like, that wasn't that bad. Everybody's more furious than they've ever been.
You got to, like, first of all, the fourth and one play. I'm going to be honest. I had no problem with the call. I didn't think it was, like, definitively he got it or definitively he didn't. Like, you're just going to have an issue spotting the ball in general on that, and you're kind of leaving it to chance at that point.
That's why I say just get 6 more inches and you're good.
But, like, everyone going from this one camera angle, like the game camera angle, that's not a good angle. You need to be dead on the line to see where that ball is. And I don't think you ever definitively see it across, what was it, the 40-yard line or whatever. Yeah. So, A, that has to happen. So let's say you do get it. You still have to convert the rest of the way. And let's not act like Josh Allen didn't have a chance at the end. He had another chance. It bothers me. And it really bothered me seeing everything yesterday about, like my roommate, I'm watching the game with him yesterday. He's like, I don't even want to watch the Super Bowl. It's like, why?
No, people are fucking dumb,
get the hell out of here with that. Like, I don't want to watch the Super Bowl because I've gotten tired of seeing the Chiefs in it all these years. Like, dude, they're the best fucking team in football. They're probably the best team I've seen in my lifetime. Better than the Patriots, honestly.
I will say, for me, I think the matchup is the least interesting that we could have gotten. That being said, if you're somebody going, I'm not going to watch the Super Bowl because of this, you are a fucking liar.
Yeah.
You are going to watch the Super Bowl.
You want to know the great?
Stop.
You want to know the great one I heard? So his girlfriend and one of our other friends was over yesterday. They're both big Swifties. They've said that this Chiefs run has made Taylor Swift more unlikable for them. And like they started like criticizing like her outfits and like everything that like her branding, and that she needs to fire her stylist. Like it got a little heated in there.
I don't know what it is, dude. Like I obviously growing up, rooting for the Patriots. I've clearly never had an issue with them. And I would like to see the Chiefs get toppled is the best way for me to put it. I'd like to see somebody take them out, but you can tell me if you think I'm nuts. People hate the Chiefs way more than anyone ever hated the Patriots.
Yeah.
And like, this is getting insane.
And the crazy part is the Patriots were doing shit to bend the rules. Like, they got caught for offenses.
Spygate.
And
Deflategate might have been bullshit.
Yeah.
Spygate was clearly a violation of the rules.
So all of that goes to show, like, what the... Like, I don't get... Like, we haven't found the Chiefs to be, like, bending the rules of the game in any sort of way. Really. Like, and the funny part, they don't run the tush push either. So this play that everyone wants taken out of football, they never run because they're not going to put their quarterback in harm's way. It is really funny to me. You know, you say like it's the least desirable matchup, and I get what you're saying, but I think that's only from a narrative standpoint. I think from a football standpoint, this is the best matchup.
It's a really good game.
It's like, I mean, we obviously had it. Yeah, we had it a couple of years ago, but it's about as good of a matchup as I can remember in the Super Bowl.
I think the issue and what my view on why people hate the Chiefs is because they play this grind out, slower, less aesthetically pleasing style of football. Like when they were the explosive balls in the air 50 times and Mahomes is letting it rip deep, I loved them. They were just so fun to watch. Now it's like, Jesus, every fucking game is just a grind fest. Yeah. And yesterday was the first game I watched this season of them where I'm like, okay, this is just genuinely awesome,
like,
football.
This is the Chiefs team where it's like, all right, I want to see this in the Super Bowl.
Awesome football. Mm-hmm. But most of the year, it's been grimy, gross. We got to block a field goal against Denver. We got to survive in a low-scoring game against Baker. We got to survive a low-scoring game on the road in Atlanta. They had to survive low-scoring with Joe Burrow. Like, every game has just not been fun and exciting and aesthetically pleasing. It's gross one-score games played in the 20s. The Patriots, when they were dominant, people hated them, but they didn't hate them to this degree. And I think there was a more of an aspect of, like, they've just perfected the sport in a way that nobody else has, and they dominate every facet of it, and they're explosive, and they're, like, ripping the ball through the air. Like, how many times did Brady throw the ball 50, 55, 60 times in a game and get a win in the playoffs? It was just a more quarterback-dominant-looking game. And the Chiefs don't have that right now. I think that's where some of the hatred comes from. Well, if they were still an exciting watch, I think people would buy in.
Yeah, and so, like, it's kind of what I've been saying about them all this year is, like, listen, it doesn't look great, but when it's situational football, which is what the playoffs come down to, this is what it looks like. It's not great, but when you're picking up third and fives, third and sevens, pretty much every single time, like, that's what it looks like, and you're going to win more games than you don't.
You know how many times I went to third down yesterday? Eight. That's it.
Incredible.
In a pro football game, you went to third down eight times.
That's wild.
Fireable offense by Sean McDermott. You can't get them. Forget get them off the field. Mm-hmm. You can't get them to third down. Yeah. It took till the middle of the third quarter for him to punt.
And you got some catastrophic turnovers out of them too. Like the option play with, I think, was it Pacheco and, or no, it was Hunt and Mahomes. You get that ball on the carpet, like, and they converted off of it, but it's like, when you have those type of plays, that's step on the throat time.
Yeah, they got the stop out of halftime. It, like, everything kind of just felt made for Buffalo, and they came up short. So now or never. Never it is. NFC side, Washington never had a chance.
Can I say this, though? This was the perfect season for Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, it couldn't have gone better.
Because he goes out, gets his team the lead on the first drive. I get they take three and don't go for the seven, which we can discuss a little bit more. But all of the miscues in that game, I know he had the pick at the end, but it was largely game was in hand at that point. All the miscues were fumbles down the field from your receivers when you were driving too. And it felt like all of that was just like, he's kind of playing a great game. They're keeping drives alive on third and fourth down.
I thought he was incredible.
He was incredible. And to do that in an NFC title game on the road in one of the most hostile environments in all of football, like, that's a perfect season for him.
Not his fault there was a fumble on a kick return. Not his fault on the fumbles downfield. I thought he was spectacular. Mm-hmm. Just they were always going to hit the ultimate obstacle, and it just turns out that that was the Eagles. Yeah. Who, look, man, I'll start with the – I told you when it happened. They went full go, two fourth downs, and then the third fourth down on the opening drive comes up, and it's a fourth and short, and they elect for the field goal. I thought it was dumb. You're in auto-go mode on the opening drive. You know, he's known all playoffs, Dan Quinn. 3 points will get us beat. And you've gone 2 for 2 on fourth down. You're converting like 94% regular season and postseason on fourth and short. Kicking there was a mistake. And the Eagles come out, Saquon handoff, touchdown, one play.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, well, game's over. Yeah. That's why you don't take the points. If it's 7-0 and I went for it on fourth down and gave up a one play touchdown, I'm fine with it because at least I knew I needed seven. But
I feel like it didn't matter either way.
It probably didn't.
But yeah, it's, man, Saquon.
He's so
good. I'll say this though.
Went under.
He did go under. What did he end up with? 118 when his number was 130.5. Even if you got it all the way down, what did it close at? Like 122 in some spots. Yep. You're still going under on that. Boy, they didn't give him the ball very many times in that game.
No.
10, 11 touches.
You didn't need them.
You didn't need them, but like there's certain moments where it's like, why are we running jet sweeps with Dallas Goedert? Why are we running like sweeps with Devontae Smith? Like, you've got maybe the best player on the planet at his position right now.
They got a little cute.
Like, I feel like some of it's going to come back to bite Sirianni in the ass. And it does feel like even when they're winning, and in this case, kicking the shit out of their opponent, there's still moments where Sirianni does some of the most head-scratching stuff. And they've got the personnel where they can get past it and it can kind of mask some of the coaching deficiencies, but it still exists.
Has he beaten the Bozo allegations?
I think publicly he has, but I think that there's a chance this bites him in the ass in the Super Bowl and the narrative's right back. Like, all this shit can turn in a heartbeat with him.
I thought there was a Bozo call yesterday going for two, up eight.
Kick, I didn't have any
point, man. Go up two scores. You get no difference in game state going for two or going for one. And I felt like one was more likely. Now, maybe Jake Elliott just sucks and that was their calculus. We have a better chance of getting 1 yard to get the two score game than we do Jake Elliott kicking from the 7.5 yard line. I would debate that personally, but whatever, do what you want to do. And then in the Rams game, their first half, end of half management on the clock was fucking awful. Let the clock wind all the way down to try a Hail Mary. And the Rams could have won that game.
Yeah.
So there are still moments of like, what is Sirianni doing for me? But when you get to the Super Bowl, what am I going to say?
Yeah. No, I think that, but again, it's kind of how I've even felt with like the Lions too. It's like, I still feel like there's moments where Dan Campbell isn't a great in-game coach. And it kind of gets covered up by the fact that you've got an incredible GM.
Mm-hmm.
And Brad Holmes and Howie Roseman are the two best in the game right now. And I don't think it's close.
No, it's not.
And on top of that, you've got the personnel out there that goes out and executes and can make chicken salad out of chicken shit. So like when you've got Saquon, you can just hand him the ball. Offensive line gets a 5 yard push. He goes largely untouched for the first 15 yards of the run, makes a couple guys, breaks out of a couple tackles and ends it with a 60 yard house call. Guess what? You don't need to be a genius to run that stuff.
The first three, like this is a credit to Howie Roseman. The first 3 years of Saquon Barkley's deal, this year, 2025, 2026, every year after that is void. So it becomes irrelevant. They'll get out of the deal. He's not going to make the money that's on those years. Every year of the first 3 years, he will average a lower percent of the salary cap than DeAndre Swift with the Bears.
Well, can I say this too? Like, sure, it's a credit to Howie Roseman for structuring the deal that way.
Also Jeffrey Lurie?
Yes. That ownership gets a ton of credit there. And I know ownership are kind of everyone's meat shield at points, but that's where ownership deserves a lot of credit. It's the same reason why, in the case of the New York Mets, I will never blame a single thing on Steve Cohen, because he has given that team every single resource needed to compete. And if you come up short, it is on the players and coaches at that point.
Yep.
Same thing in Philadelphia. If they ever come up short, it ain't the owner's fault, because he's doing everything that in his power. Philly's an entire dick measuring contest between all of those owners to see who can spend the most money. And this team just, listen, when they come up short, it's not Jeffrey Lurie's fault, because he's given that team every resource possible to extend this window for as long as possible.
I want to talk Super Bowl, just early look ahead. Yeah. The early number, Kansas City laying 1.5.
Well, the funny thing was, it was 1.5 Philly before the games happened.
So the hypothetical.
Hypothetical matchups. Philly was a 1.5-point favorite against both Buffalo and Kansas City.
And then it opened Kansas City -1.5 after the games happened.
Yep.
I kind of think the wrong team is favored.
I'm with you.
Like, if you just break it down, better offensive line, Philly. Better wide receivers, Philly. Better defensive line, Philly. Better secondary, Philly. Better linebackers, Philly. Better running back, Philly.
Yeah.
Quarterback and tight end are the only positions where, and even tight end you might call a wash with what Travis Kelce is now. Quarterback's the only spot that I got a question. Now, head coach, I would take Andy Reid over Nick Sirianni twice on Sundays.
Spags versus Vic, too.
It's going to be
one.
Stellar. It just, here's the X factor for me. And obviously, we're not going to bet the game today, but I wanted to offer my look ahead thought and where I'm at. Kansas City has kind of sneaky gotten popped on the ground. And if there's any team that I trust to not go away from the running game, it's Philly. They don't want to throw the ball.
Yeah. The problem is, what did Jalen Hurts say? They took me out of the straitjacket. Like, Saquon needs to touch the ball more. Like, sure, they didn't go away from the run per se because he was ripping off 20, 30 yard runs and it was just like finish the job from that point on. But it's like, if they give Saquon 20 touches in this game against Kansas City, I think they win the game by at least a touchdown.
And it's, look, Mixon carved him up a little bit in the divisional round game. Stroud carved him up. Quarterback runs are always a little bit different, but it will be a factor with Philly, so it's worth mentioning. The Bills, I already told you, James Cook was getting 9 yards a touch.
Yeah.
And when he went between the tackles, he was running free.
And guess what? This offensive line is a hell of a lot better than any of the offensive lines that Kansas City's faced so far.
I think it's a sneaky kind of bad matchup for Kansas City's defense where they have gotten carved on the ground and they're going to see the best rushing team in football run it down their throat.
Well, I just feel like this team is an advanced version of what the Chiefs largely are. Like, the Chiefs are a balanced team. They're good offensively. They're good defensively. Washington was only good offensively. Buffalo was only good offensively. Philadelphia is elite defensively and elite offensively. Like, it is the best balance we've seen out of a team in a while, I feel like.
And I would question the offense a little bit just because I don't know about Jalen Hurts and their pass game's been so inconsistent. But if the Chiefs are going to look the way that they've looked against ground attacks in this playoffs, it's not going to matter.
Yeah. And like, Saquon's going to do his Saquon thing. He's going to have a touchdown of like 40, 50 yards. Like, it's just how it's going to go.
Anything else? I have a question about the 2026 NFL season. I want to get to you before we get out of here. But if you have anything else in the Super Bowl.
That's all I got.
I want permission, and I haven't even looked at the number, but there is a team that I'm going to make my 2026 darling if one thing happens. If this is The Bachelor and I can give a rose to one team, one thing has to happen, and I will give them my rose.
Let me try to guess the team.
In the NFC.
Rams.
Yep.
One thing is... some sort of help on the offensive line?
Matthew Stafford can't retire.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
If Matthew Stafford comes back, which I think he will, the Rams, this is the beauty, too, of having a year where you're just fucking terrible. Because the Rams went all in. They traded for Stafford, chips on the table, went all in for a Super Bowl and got it. And then they had a year where they stunk. And they were able to recoup some of the investment. They've done great in the early rounds on the defensive side of the ball, getting pass rushers. They have a young, cost-controlled defense. If Stafford comes back, it's fuck them picks 2.0. It's whatever picks we can get rid of them. It's T. Higgins. It's like, pick your player. Bring them into L.A. If Stafford comes back, I think the Rams win the Super Bowl in 2026. I think they have the GM, they have the head coach, they have the quarterback, and they have the foresight to know, this is it, boys. Let's go.
Cooper Kupp, that may be a swan song for him in LA too. Like, I mean, it may have already happened too, but he may be one of those guys, like, you trade him to go out and advance the roster in other ways, but it's interesting.
I want you to bless it. I'm going to put, as soon as I get news that Stafford's not retiring, I'm going to check the market. I'll bet the Rams at any number to win the Super Bowl. They'll be my shout.
I like it.
I think the Lions are going to have a down year.
I'm trying to think too, like, is there a quarterback that they could bring in where you'd still bet them too?
No. If Stafford retires, no. Who would they go get?
I'm just trying to think of like, could McVay make that work with Darnold? I don't know if it's
not enough that I'm going to go Super Bowl,
but it would lengthen the odds to a number where maybe it's like, all right, worth entertaining.
I think I've seen the movie on Darnold. Probably, I know how that, I know how that ends.
I'm just trying to think of like,
it's Stafford or bust for me with this team. And I know I'll probably get shorter odds. Like, I don't think I'll get the 17-1 I had on the Lions last year. Might get close to it, though.
I would totally guess it's longer than that.
You'd think even if Stafford comes back, can I get a 20-1?
Yes, I think you would.
I'm all in. I mean, I'm all in. I genuinely think they would go fuck them picks 2.0. Get them out.
They should. I mean, that is the last hurrah. Because like, this is how this ends. This is how the rebuild goes, all right? You push all your chips to the center of the table for this singular season. Matthew Stafford, like, win or lose, is probably done. He retires. McVay probably also does the Sean Payton route, yep. goes on TV for a year, comes back, you trade McVay, you recruit picks somehow through that, and then that's just how the rebuild goes.
Yeah.
And you got to try to find your next McVay and your next quarterback.
I love them. All right, that'll do it. Pick a side championship round recap. We're going to start getting some college basketball content coming your way very shortly. Look forward to that. Shane Orling, Tyler Rocky, as always, always appreciate you guys listening. It's the Pick a Side Podcast.